Chapter 14. I ducked the assassin's attempt to grab my throat and tried to grip his arm, but he slithered out of my grasp and stood in the center of the room. The Blue Tree Guild members started to unsheathe their swords and advance toward him, but I waved them back.
"No, we have to keep him alive," I growled.
"So much for keeping me locked up, dragon,"
Dolian sneered as he held an empty vial in one hand.
"Guess you don't know as much about sorcerers as you thought."
"Looks to me like I know enough," I smirked. "You can't do magic on your own, but I can." I conjured a fireball in my palm and launched it at the assassin. But he dodged the ball and rolled just out of my reach before he leapt to his feet and pulled another vial from his pocket. Dolian tossed the glass container on the ground, and clouds of black and gray mist filled the room within seconds until I could hardly see a few inches in front of me. Then I felt the jab of a punch to my ribs, but the injury healed itself before the pain had even settled. I threw a wild swing into the mist, and the assassin started to laugh until an odd sound filled the room. It was like someone sucking a milkshake through a straw, and I realized the mist had begun to funnel out of my vision. I looked over my shoulder to see Callan with his lips pursed and his face the color of a tomato as he sucked in every drop of mist.
"Ah!"
he sighed when he was done.
"What the hell?"
Dolian muttered. I had to admit I was thinking the same question.
"Some fish assimilation," Callan shrugged and grinned at the assassin. "Bet you didn't know as much about dragons as you thought."
I laughed as I barreled toward Dolian, whose eyes widened into saucers. He was momentarily distracted by the green dragon, and I had to take advantage of it before he whipped out another potion. But I was too late. The sachet was out of his pocket when I rammed my shoulder into his chest, and the dark purple dust dumped down my back as we hit the ground. Suddenly, I was overcome with a desperate need to sleep. The desire pulled at every fiber of my body, and I yawned as I slowly rolled off the assassin and struggled to stay awake.
"Lord Evan!" Callan yelled. "What are you doing?"
"Just a quick nap," I murmured, as my eyelids got heavier and heavier.
"My lord, it's a sleep spell,"
Mariah called out from my spiritual sea.
"You can fight it. It's weak, and you're strong."
"What if I don't want to?" I mumbled. The thought of getting magically induced into a hard sleep without dreams of the Demon King, or a war-torn Rama, or whatever other nightmares I could have, was tempting. I might actually get some rest.
"You must,"
the spirit said in a firm voice.
"They need your help."
My eyes snapped open, and I saw Piotr, Callan, and the Blue Tree Guild soldiers had been pinned to the walls with a magical plant that grew from Dolian's newest vial. The vines wrapped around their bodies and held them in place despite their struggles, and Dolian was making his way toward the door.
"Not happening, asshole,"
I snarled as I conjured a fiery dagger. I launched it across the room at the perfect angle to snag the assassin's sleeve and pin it to the wall next to the door.
"No!"
he groaned, and then hissed with pain when he tried to grab the flaming blade.
"You won't keep me here!"
Dolian turned toward me and threw another vial, but it sailed well above my head. I caught a glimpse of a bluish liquid inside before it crashed into the wall behind me and spilled onto the ground.
"You missed," I said with a smirk.
"Did I?"
he shot back and pointed behind me. I whirled around to see the blue liquid had begun to take the shape of a man, or at least something close to a man. It had a head, arms, and legs, but there was no face, and it towered over me as the liquid continued to flow. It almost looked like the old swamp monster movies, except it was electric blue and much more real than any movie character. Then it stomped toward me with its monstrous hands outstretched. I easily stepped out of its path, but it didn't stop until it collided with one of the guards pinned to the wall.
"Gah!"
the soldier groaned as the monster crushed his legs with its heavy weight.
"Shit!"
I cursed. "I'll get rid of it. You guys try to cut down the plants."
"I got this part,"
Callan yelled, before he opened his mouth and spat out tiny streams of flames onto the vines around his torso. The plant began to shrivel away from him, and I knew he could free everyone as long as I kept the blue monster away from them. I looked back at Dolian,
who was still stuck to the wall, but he was trying to find a way to release himself. I only had so much time to defeat his potion creature. So I pulled the sword of Hatra from my belt and charged the monster just as it turned around from the guard. I plunged the blade into its belly until I felt the tip exit the other side, and then I ripped the sword to the side to slice through the monster's gut. Blue liquid dribbled over my blade, but the monster was undeterred. It took a swipe at my head with its huge hand, and I had to drop to one knee to avoid the blow. I yanked the sword of healing from its belly, and more of the blue liquid poured onto the floor. The fluid sizzled as it connected with the wooden planks of the ground, but then it disappeared. I wondered if that was a good or a bad thing, but I didn't have much time to contemplate it. The beast took a ground-shaking step toward me, and I dodged another one of its wide punches before I brought my sword up to lop off its arm. A gargled moan of pain sounded in the monster's chest, and I watched as the hunk of blue flesh on the ground began to dissolve and disappear like the droplets from before. So, it couldn't regenerate. Too bad. I caught a glimpse of movement from the corner of my eye, and realized Callan had freed himself and had begun to free the others while I battled the potion monster. So I focused on the beast and went to work separating his appendages from his body. I jumped back and forth with my heightened speed and cut off a leg, then its other arm, and finally its other leg. When only its torso remained, the beast seemed unsure of how to proceed, but I didn't plan to give it a chance. I brought the sword of Hatra around, but the sound of shattering glass brought me to a screeching halt. Then I looked up to see Dolian had thrown another vial at the monster I'd nearly finished off, and my eyes widened as the beast's limbs began to sprout again from its torso. And then the bastard started growing. The monster doubled in size in a matter of seconds, until its head was pressed to the ceiling of the prison room, and it released a horrific roar that rattled the boards on the walls.
"What's going on?" Callan called out over his shoulder, before he did a double take. "Oh, that's not good." "Nope," I grunted as I gripped the sword of Hatra. "But I already know how to kill it."
The beast pounded its fists into every surface it could touch, and Pyotr struggled harder against his vines.
"My lord," he yelled, "you must stop that thing. That's an exterior—"
Before the wolf demihuman could finish his warning, the beast punched through the wooden siding of the airship. A gust of wind blew through the prison room, and because the airship was parked high up, the difference in pressure sucked the beast out into the sky.
"Shit!" I cursed. "Callan, you're with me!"
I looked over at Dolian and threw a burst of sticky webbing over his body to keep him trapped against the wall. I had to take care of the potion monster before I could focus on the young sorcerer. Then I sprinted toward the gaping hole in the wall and motioned for Callan to jump with me.
"What?" he gasped. "And shift in the air?"
"It's easier than it sounds," I assured him. "Just jump, shift, and flap your wings." I didn't give the green dragon time to argue. We needed to catch up with the beast before it landed in the middle of Hatra. I launched myself out of the airship and transformed into my dragon body in no time. Then I flapped my wings and craned my neck behind me to see Callan had followed my instructions and was already beating his wings to catch up with me. I could see the giant potion beast hadn't made it very far yet, and I nosedived toward it with my claws outstretched. As my talons grazed the top of the beast's head, it roared with rage and swiped at the air between us. I dug my claws into its gooey flesh, and the monster's electric blue blood squeezed out over my scales. The liquid hissed as it dripped over my scales, and I decided it was a good thing I'd assimilated the impenetrable scales ability. I clenched the monster's head and flew back toward Callan to keep it away from Hatra. Callan slowed his pace as I rose higher from the ground, and he eyed the monster as it swung its giant fists at my forelegs.
"What can I do to help?"
he asked as his eyes narrowed on the beast.
"Do you have any more weird abilities that could chop it up or something?"
I shouted over the wind.
Yeah,
Callan replied. Then the green dragon's snout shot out nearly 12 feet and sharpened into a point. A fucking swordfish. Callan tried to slice through the monster's arm with his sharp snout, but quickly realized it was more efficient to stab. He plunged his swordfish nose in and out of the potion monster, until gallons of blue liquid poured from the beast, and it finally stopped trying to fight my grip on its head. Now was my chance. I gripped the beast's head and launched it into the air above me. Then I shot up after it and ripped four gaping holes into its torso with my talons as it screeched down past me. It roared in pain as it continued to crash toward the ground, and I whirled around and followed it with my maw wide open. As the beast slammed into the sand, I bellowed roaring flames onto its bleeding chest, and it squealed and moaned for only a few seconds before it melted into a puddle of blue liquid. I hovered over the pool for a moment before I gave it another dose of firepower. Soon the goo turned to dark blue ashes, and I smirked with satisfaction before I flew back up to meet Callan. "That's one done," I said. "Now we handle the sorcerer." "Right behind you," he replied. We flapped our wings, zoomed toward the airship, and transformed at the last second to land in the room of prison cells with matching thuds. Pyotr had finished freeing two of the guards and worked at the vines of the third with his sword. So I hurried over and offered some fiery assistance. The more guards on our side, the less likely the young sorcerer was to get away.
"Aha!"
I suddenly heard Dolian shout with joy as he finally freed himself from the fiery dagger and webs. I whirled around to see Callan had turned his arms into tentacles in an attempt to fight off the assassin. The sight was almost comical, and in any other situation I'd probably have laughed. For now, I had to help. I watched Callan's tentacles slither around Dolian, only for the assassin to slip out of their grasp. He seemed to be out of potions, and the green dragon was fighting valiantly to keep him in the prison room. But it was difficult to fight efficiently in such tight quarters. My fellow dragon mate needed me. The sorcerer hadn't noticed that I'd already killed his monster, and his body stiffened in surprise when I grabbed the back of his robe and threw him against the wall. "Leave him alone!" I bellowed as I called on my fire magic. A fiery rope appeared in my hands, and I whipped it like a lasso around Dolian's wrist. The rope dragged him across the floor toward me, and he began to whimper like an injured animal.
"No, wait!"
he begged.
You said you need me alive!"
"Maybe I've changed my mind since you went after my friend," I growled.
"Oh, gods!"
Dolian pleaded and put his hands together in prayer.
"Protect me from this dragon and whatever he plans to do to me. Help him find forgiveness."
"The gods won't forgive you, and neither will I," I said in a low voice. Then I whipped the rope off his wrist and snapped it across his back like a whip.
"No!"
Dolian howled in pain.
"I can't! The fire, it burns!"
"It's supposed to," I grunted. "Now get back in your cell before I put you there myself." Dolian whimpered as he crawled across the wooden floor and into his cell without another word.
"Some assassin," Callan murmured.
"Yeah, I wouldn't exactly call him top of the line," I agreed. "But why would someone hire a crappy assassin to kill you?" One of the guards yanked Dolian's cell door shut and used a spell to relock it. The sound of the lock clicking into place was satisfying, and Callan and I stood in front of the cell door with matching smirks on our faces.
"Thought we couldn't keep you trapped,"
Callan said and crossed his arms over his chest.
"I'm guessing you don't have any more potions to throw at us," I added.
"Well, I planned on being able to escape in the mist,"
Dolian muttered, and he winced as he bumped the burns on his back.
"That obviously didn't go as I expected."
"I'm sure you didn't expect to see tentacles either,"
Callan snorted. "Neither did I, to be honest," I whispered with a grin.
"I caught a few octomales with my fish," the green dragon chuckled. "It tasted good, and it gave me a new ability."
"Nice, though I don't know what an octomale is," I said with amusement, before I turned back to the assassin.
"Now you're up."
"Up for what?"
he asked with feigned innocence.
"I don't know anything about whatever the thing is you're asking about."
"Yes, you do," I growled. "Now is not the time to play games, Dolian. You were hired by someone, and I want to know who."
"I already told you I didn't know him,"
the assassin wannabe whined.
"He just gave me money."
"And I no longer believe you," I replied. "You can tell me the truth, or I can take the truth from you. Which will it be? Last chance, asshole."
I Well...
Dolian trailed off and looked down at the ground before he sat up, crossed his arms, and pouted.
You can't make me tell you anything. Your fire will burn me to death, and then you won't know anything.
Oh, you think all I have is fire magic? I chuckled. You're about to learn a new lesson in magic. I opened my palm and held it out toward the sorcerer, and greenish-blue tendrils of my nature magic erupted from my fingers and bolted at him.
What is...
He gasped, before the magic entered his mouth. Tell me who it is, I ordered. The nature magic I'd learned from the Sola fairies plunged down his throat, and Dolian screamed in agony as the power pulled and tore at his insides to grasp the truth.
He'll kill me,
he screeched as blood poured from his mouth. I can bring you near death, heal you, and start over, I hissed. Tell me who it is.
Gods!
Dolian screamed, and he gagged as more blood dribbled down his chin, before the nature magic yanked out the answer.
His name is Turok!
Now we're getting somewhere, I said with a smirk. Tell me about Turok. Where's he from?
No one knows where he was born, or lived,
the assassin answered between gasps for air.
He travels where he pleases, and he disappears and reappears at will. He's like a ghost.
I ain't afraid of no ghost. I laughed at my own Ghostbusters reference and then cleared my throat. Anyway, where can I find him?
I don't know,
Dolian said, and then cowered as I raised my hand again.
I swear!
Then how were you going to get the other half of your payment? I pressed.
He just said I would get it,
the young sorcerer insisted.
I figured he had magic or something, and it would just, I don't know, pop up in my pocket or whatever.
You are incredibly stupid, Callan muttered. I second that, I chuckled. Is the rest of your story true?
Yes,
Dolian grunted.
He approached me, offered the gold, and said I'd get the other half once the cave was destroyed. That was it.
All right, I murmured, as I turned to face Pyotr. Now, we've seen what he can do with his potions. I think he's out, but if he's not, make sure the guards don't fall for the invisibility one again. In fact, they need to strip him of his robes and search him completely for any more potions. He may not be able to perform magic without his staff, but we've learned he can still use those. Fool me once.
We will not be fooled twice,
the wolf demi-human growled.
Once he is searched, his cell is to stay locked indefinitely.
Perfect, I said. I need to get back to the palace and update everyone.
I'll be here when you need me,
Pyotr replied with a nod, and then turned to one of the guards.
Send someone up here to escort Lord Evan and Callan to the door. I'm needed in the training room.
Right away, sir,
the soldier said, and bowed. Moments later, a dryad woman appeared in the doorway and offered her forearm to greet me. I was shocked for a moment, and I realized I'd never seen a dryad other than the Three Sisters. She wasn't quite as breathtakingly beautiful, but she had the same emerald skin, and her jade hair was pulled into a bun on top of her head. She also wore the brown leathers of a warrior with the blue tree guild emblem scorched into the front of her chest cover.
My lord, I'll guide you to the exit,
she said in a low voice. Thank you, I replied. Callan and I followed the dryad around the airship until we saw sunlight peek in through the doorway that would lead us back into the city. We thanked her and headed toward the Lunar Palace. As we walked along the stone road, Callan seemed to have finally relaxed and caught his breath.
That was wild, he finally said. You just sent those magical smoke things in his mouth and pulled the truth up like water from a well.
Yeah, a little trick I picked up a few months ago, I grinned. What about you? I've never seen either of the assimilations you used.
Living by the ocean for so long has its perks, the green dragon laughed. I found all kinds of crazy skills there. I couldn't keep them all, though. It was too much work to maintain them.
Too much work? I cocked my head to the side with curiosity. What do you mean?
Well, I hardly ever needed to use them, and I don't know how else to keep them in working order, I suppose, he said with a shrug. They seem to just sort of fade away.
I seem to be able to access my powers any time if I've used it at least once, I remarked. You don't try them out once you get them?
Sometimes, he replied,
Not always. Interesting, I muttered, as I mulled this over in my head. Then a thought occurred to me. Do you ever cultivate? That seems to help me.
Oh, I don't know what that means, Callan admitted.
No shit, I murmured. That's why no one knows how to make messengers anymore. There's a lot more to our magic than assimilation, my friend.
Would you teach me? He asked.
Of course, I agreed. I actually wanted to work on something too, so maybe we can cultivate together.
All right.
Callan looked around the busy street.
Where do we do this?
I know the perfect place, I said with a grin. I changed course and headed for the gardens, where the Moon Princess statue waited. Callan looked at me with confusion as I bent down and pressed the stone at her feet that opened the passageway to the River Moonstone House. But then the stone floor beneath us vibrated and opened to reveal a staircase that led deep into the ground.
Is this safe?
The Green Dragon asked with a brief hesitation. Definitely, I replied, and motioned for him to follow me. Once we stepped down into the River Moonstone House, I felt the surge of energy calm my soul, and I heard Callan's sharp intake of breath. I remembered the same feeling of bewildered awe when I'd first come down here with Ruslan, and I grinned at my fellow dragon before I walked deeper into the polished marble room and sat down on the floor. Callan followed me to the center of the room and sat down across from me, and he mimicked my cross-legged pose as he continued to look around the room with wide eyes.
"This is incredible," he breathed.
"Yeah, it's the perfect place to teach you how to cultivate," I said. "Trust me, it's where I learned, too."
"What do you do?" the green dragon asked.
"We start with closing our eyes." I closed mine and felt my voice drift into what was something of a yogi's tone of voice. "Then we have to focus on finding the pure center of our magic. You have to relax and be totally calm from your head to your toes, and let your energy flow through every part of your body."
"My energy," Callan murmured in a dazed tone.
"Yes, you have to dive into yourself and find its source," I continued. "Don't get lost in it. Control it. Own it. It's your power, your magic." Then the green dragon was silent, and I knew he'd begun to navigate the path to his spiritual sea. I entered my own sea, and Mariah stood on the beach with an angelic smile on her face.
"I'm glad you're cultivating again,"
she said serenely.
"Your sea feels much calmer when you do."
"Yeah, I wanted to do that, but I also want to try something else." I looked around and furrowed my brow. "Where could I build a wall to protect myself?"
"Protect yourself from what?"
Mariah asked with a mixture of curiosity and concern. "The Demon King and his stupid nightmares," I explained. "When I healed those people's memories, I could feel a wall his sleeping curse had created. It's what kept their memories from being accessible to them."
"Yes, I felt that too,"
she mused.
"Well, I suppose you'd have to build yours around whatever you need to protect. He enters your mind during sleep, so perhaps it would be beneficial to focus on your Arxo."
"I'm sorry, my what?" I gaped at the spirit, who stifled a laugh.
"Your Arxo,"
Mariah repeated.
"It's your sleep tower. Come on, I'll show you."
"My sleep tower," I muttered. "Where else?" It seemed I learned something new about my spiritual sea almost every day. Mariah took my hand and pulled me toward the grass at the edge of the beach. We hurried toward the left side of the mountain and passed by the cave where the celestial triad spirits were caged. Then we rounded the mountain, and I saw it. A huge stone tower loomed behind the mountain. The stones were a deep amethyst color that matched my eyes, but the flags that hung from the turret up top were the same jet-black color as my dragon scales. They even shimmered in the sunlight as the breeze waved through them.
"There it is,"
Mariah said with an excited grin. "Wow," I murmured. "That's huge."
"Yeah, it houses your dreams,"
she replied.
"And you have a lot of them."
"So could I revisit a dream if I wanted to?" I wondered suddenly.
"You could, but the Arxo is difficult to navigate,"
the spirit answered.
"Most dreams don't have a specific beginning or ending, so it's not easy to find the one you want."
Part of me wanted to explore the Arxo, but the more reasonable part of me decided now was not the right time. Duly noted. I pursed my lips as we got closer to the large black door, and I could hear voices and various other sounds inside. What's with all the noise?
Your dreams are just as realistic in there as they are in your mind,
she explained.
So you hear them from out here as you would in your sleep.
That's not terrifying at all, I muttered. So I just need to build a wall around the tower. Sounds easy enough.
How will you do it?
Mariah asked. My stone magic, I guess, I said, as I glanced back over at the mountain. There are tons of boulders and rocks in there. I'll use those.
Even with your stone magic, that is a large task ahead of you, my lord.
The sword spirit wrung her hands together in front of her. It is, I said as I looked around the tower. Do you think I need a whole wall around this thing, or maybe just to block the door? The double doors to the Arxo were at least as wide as a double car garage door and stood probably 8 feet high. It was a daunting task, but it didn't compare to the thought of building a wall around the entire tower, even with my stone magic.
No one can access someone else's Arxo without a door,
she agreed.
It would be impossible.
Okay, so that makes it a little easier, I grunted. Then I got to work. While I knew time passed differently in my spiritual sea than in the physical world, it still felt like it was hours that I used my stone magic to drag boulders and stones from the mountain to the lush green grass in front of my Arxo. Then I began the laborious task of stacking the boulders and stones to block the expansive door. I rolled the largest boulders up against the raven-colored wood until I heard the thump of the stone hitting the door. Then I piled dozens of large rocks into the gaps between and on top of the boulders. By the time I stepped back from my creation, I was drenched in sweat, but I couldn't see a single part of the black doors to my Arxo. I feel like it needs more, I said as I stared at the wall. Some way to make sure he doesn't just walk back into my head and knock them down. Mariah nodded her head in agreement, but I already had an idea in mind. I thought about how I'd summoned the cages for the celestial triad spirits with a simple thought. I needed to essentially trap the blockade in place, and I had to be the only one with access to it. It needed a lock. My thoughts seemed to summon the lock into existence, and the boulders and rocks glowed with a violet light before they hardened into a single layer of thick obsidian. Soon, a keyhole appeared in the center of the stone, and I looked down to see a tattoo of a key ink itself onto the back of my hand. Fucking badass.
I think you got it, my lord,
Mariah breathed.
There's no way the Demon King could get through that.
He better not, I muttered. I'm tired of him being in my dreams. I like the ones with my women in them much better.
Let's get you cleaned up,
Mariah giggled. We walked back down to the beach, and I rinsed off the sweat in the calm waters of my spiritual sea. I felt refreshed, and though a little bit of doubt tried to wiggle its way into my thoughts, I was hopeful about the blockade I'd built. It would be a relief to sleep in peace. I'd better get back, I said once we'd dried off in the sun. Callan is cultivating too, and he might be a little confused if I'm still gone when he gets back.
Of course, my lord.
Mariah pressed a gentle kiss to my cheek.
I hope you have sweeter dreams tonight.
I groaned inwardly at the thought of leaving the spirit now, but I had to get back to the green dragon. Plus, I still needed to update everyone else on the information we'd gotten from Dolian. So I sighed and returned to the River Moonstone House. As I suspected, Callan had awoken from his cultivation already, but he still sat across from me in the meditation pose and watched me open my eyes.
Yours was way longer than mine, he remarked.
I had some work to do, I said, and grinned as we stood up and stretched.
How do you feel?
Incredible, the green dragon answered with a glint in his eye.
I think I can make my own messenger now.
Well, give it a shot, I encouraged him. Callan took a deep breath and held his palm open between us. Then a shimmery little dragon appeared in a puff of smoke, and it turned around in his hand to look at him.
Ha! I did it! He gasped. That's it!
You got it, I grinned. Now you tell him what to do or where to go, and he does it.
Okay. Go to the Luna Palace and tell them we're on our way, Callan ordered.
The tiny dragon nodded its head and then zoomed up the staircase to pass on his message. Well, I guess we better make sure we're right behind him, I chuckled.
Amazing,
the green dragon breathed as we began to walk up the staircase.
Thank you, Lord Evan, for showing me this ability.
Ah, don't mention it, I grinned and clapped him on the shoulder. As we headed back to the palace, Callan talked non-stop about his energy and how it felt to access it. He'd never been taught to cultivate, and he'd only known how to create a messenger because the Draha had taught him a few things about magic. He had no idea how much he could do by tapping into his full power. So, now when you assimilate an ability, you can keep it in your spiritual sea and use it whenever you want, I said.
I'm going to get so many cool abilities, he replied with a wide smile. I mean, I don't want to go kill a bunch of stuff, but monsters are things I can eat, a fair game.
Exactly, I agreed. We walked in the front doors, and the rest of my people were in the great hall with the large map of Anati spread out on the floor. They all looked up as we walked in, and my lovers jumped to their feet to come hug me. I was squished between all my women at once, and I didn't mind one bit.
Did he tell you anything?
Marina asked.
Of course he did,
Trina scoffed.
Lord Evan has his ways. Yeah, no one can keep a secret from him for long,
Paulina added. That's true, I agreed with a laugh. We got the name.
Who sent him?
Ravi asked, and her bright blue eyes were wide with anticipation. A guy named Tarok, I said. I guess no one knows much about him, but...
Tarok is evil, Ruslan groaned. We all know that much.
Wait, you know that guy? I asked in surprise.
We know of him,
Julia said as she furrowed her brow.
He has a reputation for being rather vicious.
Ruthless,
my father added.
But I thought he'd been killed.
Julia frowned as she thought. In a war or something? I pressed.
No, Ruslan answered and shivered. During one of his conquests, maybe 2 centuries ago, was it? Anyway, Tarok was well known for his desire to become rich and powerful by taking over any city he wanted. He would kill anyone who stood in his way without a second thought.
Men, women, or children,
Julia said with a grimace.
He paid no mind to anything except his goal of conquering cities.
Bastard,
Lyca growled, and her steely gray eyes lit up with rage.
That he was,
my mother agreed.
Or is, I suppose the case may be.
Oh, gods, Ruslan murmured. It never even crossed my mind.
What? I asked.
The sword tattoo Dolian mentioned, he explained. It was said he had the sword tattooed on his right arm, so it was the last thing his victim saw before he killed them. He preferred to kill with his bare hands.
Okay, so this guy is a total asshat, I get that, I said with a frown. But why did he need Dolian to kill for him? It sounds like he has no problem doing it on his own.
That's a good question,
Aliona agreed and tapped her lip.
It seems Tarok also might have been more successful than the young sorcerer.
He doesn't make any sense,
Aaliyah growled.
This Tarok guy has to have something up his sleeve. Besides his death tattoo,
Rebecca said and scowled. I agree, I mused. And I intend to find out what that is. I just need to know how to find this guy.
If he convinced everyone that he was dead for the past however many years, how are you going to find him?
Emma asked. I don't know yet, I muttered. But I'm going to find a way.
I have a feeling Tarok knows something about the breach,
Naomi said as she tucked a stray magenta hair behind her ear.
A guy who loves death would surely know about a potentially deadly hole in the realm.
That would make sense, Nike agreed. I've never heard of Tarok, but a man who wants to conquer the world seems likely to team up with the Demon King who has the same goals.
And we have to do whatever is necessary to prevent that, I said with a scowl. They can't work together. It would spell disaster for everyone.
I'll do some research, Ruslan volunteered. I can track where Tarok was last known to be, and where Dolian met him. Maybe some of my old friends around Rama can give me some more information.
I'd appreciate it, I murmured.
It won't be easy, son, he said. Tarok was, is like a ghost.
That was the second time the man had been referred to as a ghost, and something about it sent chills down my spine. This was a man I had to find. There was no doubt about that. "Just find him," I replied. "Whatever it takes." Ruslan dipped his head and hurried out the front door. I figured he would head to the archives to check the history books first. But before the doors could shut behind him, one of the guards strode inside and stood with his arms crossed over his chest.
"Lord Evan, you have another visitor," he boomed.
"Oh, great."